What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today, we're starting a brand new book. We're starting the book of 1 and 2 Kings. Really, that's one big book, kind of like the book of Samuel, Kings. And what this is going to cover is about 400 years of history. The book of Kings will cover all the way from the death of David to the exile. So that's about 400 years of history with no time gaps. You know, when we study the book of Judges, it's similar. It's about 400 years of history, but there's some time gaps. There's not always tight chronology, but here it's like, no, we give everything that happened. Obviously not everything. This doesn't include every last thing that every king did, but we're going to see all the kings of the north and all the kings of the south and how there's a split in the kingdom and why that all happened. And I think the original audience that read this book probably read it during the time of the exile, which probably answers a question that some of them might have had. If God made those promises to David in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, that his son was always going to reign as king, if God made those promises, how come we're in the exile? How come we got sent out of our land? Why did this happen? How did we get here? So those types of questions, I think this book answers, because it shows how not only David's son Solomon, but also the other kings after him did not trust God fully with their heart. We're going to see some good and some bad, but we're also going to see a lot of the consequences of their sin. So let's check this out. 1 Kings 1. First of all, the first king that we see mentioned here after David, that is not actually Solomon, because there was another person who tried to make himself king, one of David's sons. His name was Adonijah. So far we've had three of David's sons, Amnon, Absalom, and now Adonijah, both be troublemakers. Both, that's three. That's all. All of them were troublemakers. All of them did unrighteous things. And what we see here is that it's not just Adonijah that does what's wrong. There are some men that followed David faithfully that now are going to switch sides from King David's side to now they're going to be King Adonijah and be on his team. Two guys in particular, Joab, the guy who's been running all the army raids and everything like that, Joab, and Abiathar, which was one of the priests that David was interacting with. So this is a big deal. We got these two loyal, so to speak, loyal people to David are now following Adonijah. What we see is Nathan, the prophet, and Bathsheba, who is one of David's wives and Solomon's mom, they go and talk to David and say, I thought you said Solomon was going to be king. How come Adonijah's king? And David says, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll make Solomon king right now. You know, sometimes there would be some overlap in, you know, the last king being alive and the new king, and he says, I'm going to anoint somebody king. We're going to have someone be set up as king before I die. And that actually happened probably a lot more than we might think in the Old Testament. But that happens here, certainly. So Solomon is made king, and what happens? All the people that followed Adonijah now see King David put Solomon up as the king, and what are they thinking? They're probably thinking, I am in trouble. I saw this happen years ago with Absalom. I don't want this to happen again. I don't want to get in trouble again. So a lot of them just kind of fade to the background. But Adonijah, it said, feared Solomon. He was afraid, and he didn't want to cause any trouble, at least not at the beginning. So Solomon says, great, you can live as long as you don't make any trouble. We're going to see later on how he makes a little bit of trouble. But in chapter 2, we see the last words of David before David dies. We see that he tells Solomon to do four things, okay? And here's what the four things are. First of all, he tells him to obey God and to keep God's rules and to keep the law of Moses. That's what he says in verse 2 all the way to verse 4. I mean, this is an awesome text. It says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning you, saying, if your sons pay careful attention to their way, and walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Right? That's a recapping of what we saw promised in 2 Samuel 7, the Davidic covenant. Okay? So commandment number one for Solomon to follow is obey God. Spend your whole life serving and obeying God. Okay? That's a big commandment. That seems like the most obvious commandment. Well, does he have some other commandments? Yes. He basically says, I want you to take care of somebody. Not take care of in like a good way. Take care of in like a bad way. There's a guy named Joab. You remember Joab? The guy who sided with Adonijah. The guy who was always killing people like Abner. People who were more righteous than him. I want you to put him to death. Okay? So first wish is obey God. Second wish is make sure Joab dies. Third wish is you should be kind to Barzillai, because he was helpful for me when I was being run out of town by Absalom. But then there's another guy I kind of want you to take care of, and it's Shimei. So make sure you take out Joab and Shimei, but make sure you're good to Barzillai. Okay, great. Those are the four commandments. Then he dies. What does Solomon do? Well, first of all, he ascends to the throne. He's the king, and Adonijah approaches Solomon, not actually directly. He approaches Solomon through Bathsheba and says, hey, can I have that servant of David? Can Abishag, can she be my wife? Is that okay? And Bathsheba says, okay, I'll ask the king. Bathsheba asks the king, and the king says, do you want to give him the throne too? Why do you think he wants Abishag, David's servant? Why do you think he wants her as a wife? It's because if he has her as a wife, everyone will look to him as the king again. No, this is going to cost him his life. So Solomon kills Adonijah. Really, it's actually not Solomon. It's Benai. He's actually the one who kills three people in this chapter. Very interesting. Then he expels Abiathar for joining Adonijah. And it says, this is to fulfill the word of the Lord that was spoken according to the house of Eli from the beginning of 1 Samuel. So we see that loose end get tied in. Then Benaiah is going to kill not Adonijah. He's already dead. Joab is the second guy Benaiah kills. Then you have Shimei, who he's killed too, because he was that person who cursed David after he went over the brook Kidron when he was running away from Absalom. So lots of history here. I know that's a lot to say about the first two chapters, but what we see is Solomon's kingdom is established, which is always a messy thing. It's always a messy thing, and it especially is with Solomon's reign. So that's our Old Testament reading. Let's check out the New Testament. We're still finishing Luke 22, and what we're going to see is Peter officially stands before these people and denies that he knows Jesus, while Jesus is standing proclaiming faithfully that he is the Son of Man. When he's bold about that at the end, when they ask him, are you the Son of Man? And he says, yes, and you're going to see me when I come in power. He's bold about that. Peter is weak about his association with Christ. Jesus tells the truth boldly. Peter lies sheepishly or in a really cowardly way. And what we see here is the difference between the two of them. And what I want you to see is, as we look at Peter's bad example here and Christ's good example, we need to do the opposite of what Peter should have done. Peter should have boldly identified with Jesus here. And that's what we should do too. We should boldly identify with Jesus because he is the king. Because he really is everything that he said he was. He is the Son of Man. He is coming in power, and we need to recognize him as that way now, and we need to help represent him in this world to other people that he is the Son of Man that's coming soon. So that needs to be our motivation and focus as we talk to people about the gospel, that Jesus is the king. That needs to be central to our thinking when it comes to sharing the gospel. So if that's the big thing we take away from this reading, I think that would be super helpful if we said, I want to be bold to represent Jesus, the king. As we're learning about a lot of kings in the Old Testament, we want to represent the ultimate king, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So thanks for reading. Make sure you read the whole thing today, and we'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.